Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. You know, folks, I don't know if you remember, but many years ago, I met some guys named Tatum, and they were called Tatum Partners LLC back in those days, as I remember. Tatum CFO Partners, I think, is what it was. I'll get Doug to tell us exactly what it was in a minute, but I met Doug and some others and found out that they had a survey, that they were doing surveys, that they were surveying their partners across the country who were helping to run small businesses all across the country, and they were finding out what's going on out there, and they were getting those guys to report back to them once a month, and they were producing a report. And I said, I'd like my audience to have access to that report. Would you do it on my show? And Doug did that, and then very soon after that, he turned it over to the guy who was actually generating that report, Mr. Sam Norwood, which you know very well because Sam's with us every month. But Sam's off this month, and we've asked Doug to come back and sit in his place and sort of revive the old energy that we had when we first started doing this. And folks, the Tatum Partners, which is now Tatum LLC, is a great American success story. And I'm glad to say Doug is the founder of that organization, and he's with us now. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Jim, great to be back. I remember when we started that survey, it was immediately after 9/11, and we wanted to get a feel for where the economy was going on a very short tactical basis. And Sam Norwood came to me with that idea, and we've been doing it ever since. We're very, very happy to do that on your show as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and we're very grateful. And, of course, as you know, we not only have it on our show, we post it on our homepage every month, and it's the centerpiece of the research that we offer to our audience. Your survey is one of two that we offer, the other one being from the NFIB that we also do once a month. And there are different approaches to the same kind of information. Doug, I just want to say, as I said a minute ago, congratulations on the incredible success that you and your organization have had. It's really been fun for me to watch you guys grow. I teased Sam about, you know, when I first started working with you guys, you only had a couple of hundred partners. Now you got about 600, and I always tell him, you know, you're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Exactly. I'm sure that that's been there's been a connection there. That's why we're still here, Jim.
Exactly. And I'm always glad to help, Doug. Doug, let's get right into the report. I want to tell you what. Before we do that, I want to get you to sort of give us your take on the economy. We're sitting here with a real estate industry having a lot of struggles. Sam, the last time Sam was on the show, he gave us the most dour interpretation of the real estate industry of anybody who has talked about it on the show. We've got a stock market going through the roof. We got high inflation. We got low unemployment. We got an economy languishing. What's your take on all this? We got a lot of mixed signals here, don't we?
Well, you do, and I think that one of the more interesting paradigms that we have in this economy that I think is unique historically is private equity. I left a private equity conference last week out in Phoenix, and for example, just on one stage, Jim, with five gentlemen, there was, let me do a quick count, I think $100 billion worth of private equity investment. So I think, let me translate that to the economy. There is more liquidity, in other words, investment dollars, looking for places to go than we probably ever had historically since the beginning of time. And I think that is dramatically significant to the economy. Interestingly enough, our survey for May has the most positive 60-day outlook since February 2006. Mm-hmm. We can talk a little bit more about it in detail, but from my perspective, I think there is two things going on. Number one, you've got too much money, or a lot of money. In fact, it could be viewed as too much money, looking to find a home. And it's looking to find a home in, you know, emerging growth businesses and middle markets. It's interesting that the pension funds that invest in private equity indicated they believe the best returns in private equity are going to be in companies that have less than $10 million in earnings, which means these companies are going to be what they call in the lower end of the middle market, companies that are just cracking out from being small into, you know, emerging. So I think that that money is going to be kind of the underpinning of the economy. I don't know what it's going to do in terms of its growth, but I think it creates an underpinning that, you know, we're...
It's filling a breach that the banks can't really fill, can they?
Well, you know, part of it, Jim, you were very helpful with me in the old days when I got invited up to Congress to testify on the capital gap.
About
I still
the bridge
believe there's a capital gap down there.
Hold on to that thought. I want to come back and talk about that, and we're going to get right into the survey, too, right after these messages. 20 till, Doug Tatum is our guest.
And we are airplanes today.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you know we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Doug Tatum is our guest. He's a highly intelligent guy. He's the partner and one of the founders of Tatum LLC, and it's an organization that I'm always happy to tell you about. Doug, we're talking about the economy, and we were just talking a little bit about the access to capital, the availability of capital. There's a and by the way, I don't want to dwell on this too long because I really would like to get you back on another day. In fact, we're going to when you got a new book coming out, No Man's Land, that I'm going to be very happy to tell my audience about whenever
Thank
it's
you,
available.
Jim.
And I expect you to launch it on this show, by the way. I want to get back into the economy and. Are you saying that one of the reasons why the economy is hanging on and is as robust as it is today is because of the private equity availability?
Well, I think that's a yes. I think there's an element of that, particularly since a lot of private equity, you know, most of what you read about is KKR and Blackstone and large deals, but there are approximately 3,500 companies out there that are what they call private equity sponsors that are deploying capital into the middle market. And we had talked earlier about the access to capital. You had helped me early on when I was requested to go up and testify on the issue of the capital gap. I think there's plenty of capital in this country to start businesses. I think there's plenty of capital to grow these companies after they reach a certain size. I still believe that we have a problem when you're too big to be small and too small to be big, and that capital needs between $250,000 and maybe $2 million. But
right.
I think that the liquidity, the overall amount of money available for investment, is one of the reasons the economy continues to do well. You know, when looking through the actual survey, as you mentioned, we have about 700 professionals. What we do is ask our partners very simply to go through a series of exercises that these are partners that serve as CFOs for companies in terms of backlogs and capital expenditures and capital availability and so forth. And what we found, interestingly enough, is that I mentioned earlier that we've got a very strong overall industry or index of business conditions. Order backlogs, for example, Jim, are up with moderate increases for the last 30 days and for the 60-day outlook. And obviously that's a good sign because that relates directly to sales.
And that's a new trend from the last report or two. Order
it
backlogs
is.
were not up last time you were here.
Well, in fact, this is the highest overall since February 2006 in general for the business conditions. So, so that's a very, very positive. The capital expenditure commitments, and you know, this is where we're asking our partners who would know, you know, as CFOs in these companies, are you gonna sign authorizations for more capital expenditures over the next 60 days or less? And it's slightly larger for going forward for capital expenditures. Headcounts are even, though, interestingly enough. And what's interesting is that in terms of regions related to this overall survey, the Southwest is the strongest, the Northeast is the weakest. And the
that's been pretty consistent over the last several years.
I believe it is. Yes, it has. And the healthcare continues to be one of the strongest sectors, obviously. And you know what's interesting and bothersome to me though is that the company size, the weakest relative scale from our respondents is the mid market, as opposed to large. Or regional companies. Mm-hmm. So I worry about that.
Tell me what you tell us what you mean by that.
Well, when we do a review of who actually responded to the survey, we actually get the size of the company and the region that they mm-hmm. are in. And so it apparently, in this survey, for example, the largest companies. Companies that would be considered national or regional were much stronger than mid-markets that, for example, were a little more local in terms of their or in their geography.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means other than the I like to see the emerging growth middle market companies tend to lead the pack. And when those things slow down, if you go back to some of the research that you and I are familiar with Dr. David Birch, most
right.
of the net job growth in the United States is actually from these
from that know, group.
What
are these companies? Do you feel like they're being too parochial and too regional, or do you have any way of knowing that?
You know, all I can do is conjecture because we don't drive the data analysis down to that level. And again, with a caveat that it's conjecture on my part, I think that the I'll give you some data that we just recently looked at out of a research institute that I'm
right.
involved in, and it was on freight forwarding companies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got down in Jim, you'll find this interesting. If you got down in the below $20 million company range, the
in revenue,
the fastest uh-huh. growing companies in freight forwarding were from $10 to $20 million.
Uh-huh.
The most profitable freight forwarding companies were less than $10 million in revenues.
Uh-huh.
Between $20 and $50 million, which is the lower end of the middle market,
right.
there was zero profitability and zero
wow.
growth. That's that no man's land that
well,
you
exactly.
and I have talked about for years.
Yeah,
so. That,
and that's the handle of the barbell, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of companies that are stuck in that region for reasons that are outside of the economy and are more related to how do they grow out of their core customer.
Hold on to that thought, Doug. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 10-10. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay, well, it is.
The Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Doug Tatum, the president, and actually the founder. I think you're the chairman now, aren't you, Doug?
I retain the title founding chairman.
Founding chairman. I like the way that sounds. And that's about as high up on the org chart as you can get, ladies and gentlemen. When you're the guy who turned the lights on first, that's pretty high. Doug, we're still talking about the survey. The capital availability and pricing arrows are both down.
Yes.
In light of what you were just telling us about capital availability, the arrows are down. What's up?
Well, I'm actually very puzzled by that because it turned negative in April and it continues to weaken, and it could very well be that the partners are sensing the banks tightening up a little bit out there,
yeah.
Particularly in the middle market.
And is that because of something we've done, or is this a reaction to covering their backside with regard to subprime lending, the exposure
well,
they have
could,
with subprime lending? Could it
well,
could be,
I,
could be something wouldn't be even be our fault?
Yeah, it could very well be. I don't know if it's related to subprime lending. It could very well be the fact that their economists are concerned that the that you're going to get a little flattening in the economy and to kind of dress up some of the things. Although I tell you that in the private equity context, where the private equity firms are still seeing enormous amounts of leverage being able to be put on companies when they invest in them. So I'm puzzled by that, and I kind of want to see how that turns out As we go forward, it could very well be, again, the fact that the Northeast and some of the middle market service economy kind of things aren't doing quite as well, and so that reflects uniquely in our survey. But
you know, Doug, I would just like to say that this wouldn't be the first time that other influences affected the general lending market, because if you remember back in the late 80s, there were a lot of loans that were called that were completely performing very well, but the regulators decided that they looked at them and decided that they didn't have a chance of performing 2 years out, and so they called the loans in advance. But the only thing I was going to say, one more thing quickly, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not even anywhere near the size of the companies that Doug has been talking about a little bit, I don't care what size you are, now would be an excellent time to take your banker to lunch and to get closer to your banker. This is a great time to you should not presume your relationship with your banker. You should rekindle the connection there.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I think that you could take that principle, Jim, that you just advised your listeners, and even take it down that stream a little bit more. I'm convinced of having worked through financing issues with companies that bankers don't mind problems; they hate surprises.
Exactly.
And the entrepreneurial CEO is always, well, they're wired. They've built a business by landing on their feet, and so many times if they've got an issue, they defer communicating that issue to the banks, and because they're going to land on their feet. I've always found that if you'll tell your banks the problems you have as quickly as you can, and then they start getting confidence that you can land on your feet, goes a long way to making sure you've got that relationship if there's a problem. So I think
an uninformed banker is a scared banker, and nobody ever got any help out of a scared banker.
That's a great way of summarizing it.
I've been saying that for a long time, and folks, it's not, again, as Doug says, it's not the bad information they don't like; it's the no information they don't like.
Yeah.
Even if you've got good information and you haven't told them about it, they're going to still be a little scared.
Yeah, they're professionally skeptical, and without information, they get that way really quick.
I love that what somebody told me once, that the title of the shortest book in the world is Loan Officer Courage. Isn't that a great story?
Well, absolutely. Well, they're not in the business of, there is no upside for them in this business. So,
yeah.
as I've heard many, many times, I have no upside in your business. I just want to know if I get my money back. So,
hey, Doug, we got 45 seconds. What's your opinion of the economy for the rest of the year?
You know, I asked that question back in the, and I just left yesterday a survey panel where I was participating with a group of your audience, I'm sure, in South Carolina. And then earlier in the week, I kind of asked the around the room in the private equity conference, Intergrowth, put on by ACG out in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I think most everyone believes that this year we're going to be in pretty good shape going forward, notwithstanding some kind of shock,
mm-hmm.
terrorist attack, or
but you
anything.
Think you don't see anything any ugly stuff the rest of the year?
No, not from what I can gather out there. And I'm just like you, man. I am constantly looking to ski ahead of my skis.
Thank you, Doug, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks,
Doug Tatum, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Presenting Great Moments in FirstGov.gov History. For years, Americans have turned to FirstGov.gov for their government information.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.